Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 2nd of December, recording at 8:29 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this is an interesting day here, and we've had a few eyebrow-raising moves. Now, first, stock markets. Let me cover those. Firm, generally. We had some good rallies in the Asian markets, including a bounce of 1.75% on the Nikkei, Japan's lagging stock market. But the second section had a feeble rally. And as you know, if you've been listening to these audios for long, the second section for me is a lead indicator in Japan. So it suggests to me that it might still remain range-bound. However, it'll like one factor, and did today as well, and that's the soft oil price, but more about that in a moment. Now, elsewhere, India, one of my, well, that's India is definitely my favorite market for the long term. That pushed through to a new high. And I said I'd discuss my tactics on that. Now, I own the J.P. Morgan India Fund. That's a UK-listed, sterling-denominated investment trust. That's the way I've played India. It's a core position in my pension fund, self-administered pension fund portfolio. Now, and the chart looks very similar to the India index. It's slightly behind it. Actually, and you can see that India Sensex index in the comment of the day. Now, the fund has a small premium to net asset value between sort of 2 and 3% when I last looked. I do not really think this is a time to be buying India or any of the other of these very powerful markets. I'm quite happy to hold it in here because I think that the global rally is still in with a very good chance of carrying well into the first quarter of next year. As I've said before, I don't see anything that is going to interrupt that yet. I know what some factors that could interrupt it might be. I've been talking about interest rates, but I don't think we have too much upward pressure there. I've been talking about the oil price, but that's heading in a bullish direction for stock markets. Some oil shares accepted. And I've also been talking about the dollar, if people felt that this had become a crisis. But the dollar actually rebounded today. So more about that later. To get back to India, say I'm very content to hold that position, and I know that some subscribers in the US, for instance, who are unable to buy the investment trust in the UK, have the India Fund Inc., which is code IFN space US on the I think it's on the New York Stock Exchange, rather than New York or the American Stock Exchange. Now, what my strategy would be, if I get my best case scenario and stock markets do push well into the first quarter of the year, I will then be thinking very much about, and India performs accordingly, I'll be thinking very much about lightening that position at least in anticipation of an eventual downturn in 2005. So the higher it goes, the more tempted I will be to actually take some profit. But as I say, at this stage, right now, here today, I'm very relaxed in terms of staying with that position. Now, also, I mentioned yesterday, Australia, and I'd been asked about some charts, and I posted that comment because I thought that was of general interest, as I've been talking about Australia and also New Zealand as lead indicators among the developed stock markets. Now, Australia had a small downward dynamic yesterday, which I mentioned. Today, it had an offsetting, bigger upward dynamic. And that's what one really wants to see within a consistent and powerful trend. You may get this wobble from time to time, as we saw yesterday. But if that trend is still powerful, it should be countermanded very, very quickly. And that's exactly what happened. So, excuse me, that still looks fine at this stage, albeit it's had one heck of a rally, and there is some overall acceleration to that trend. So this is not a time, in my view, to be piling into the Australian stock market or any other stock market, but it is a time to be holding on to one's positions on the basis that we ought to be able to lighten at better prices in most instances in coming weeks and perhaps months. Okay, moving on from stock markets, just to say those good gains in Asia were repeated in Europe. Nothing spectacular, but solid gains. And Wall Street has been on the minus side most of the day, but nothing big either way, and currently it's unchanged on the Dow and the S&P, with the NASDAQ up a little bit, so nothing to frighten the horses there. Turning to bonds. Now, the U.S. Treasury slipped again here today, 109.19, so breaking down out of this small overhanging top formation within a very much larger ranging top formation. As you know, yesterday I did roll my JGBs short over, taking a small loss on that previous December contract position. It's continued to range higher, but it shows a wedging characteristic, and by that I mean that the there's very little follow-through on the upside. It's losing upside impetus, and I think when you look at the weekly chart, you can see why I think this is vulnerable to a move on the downside. But it would probably take a good jump by the Japanese stock market to push the JGB prices down, the yields up, in a meaningful way. We'll eventually get that jump in the Japanese stock market, I suspect. I hope it's sooner rather than later. I'm still carrying a position that's costing me a little bit of money in the futures contracts there. And overall, that pattern looks to me like it's in a base extension phase. Okay, elsewhere, here's the big story on the day. The euro, after pushing up to a new high against the dollar, got up to 133.84, so it's taking the dollar index to a new low. Then it started to reverse. No particularly big news item. I put up something about German unemployment, but that's an old, old story that we've known for a long time, and there was certainly no immediate impact as far as that story was concerned. But some profit-taking did set in, some short covering on the dollar, and some people stepping out of long positions in a number of these currencies. And that caused the euro to fall back from that 133.84. It's currently 132.67. Now that's down 78 ticks, which is hardly shattering, although it's sitting close to a barely perceptible key day reversal, nowhere near enough to really alarm people, but currency traders are more technically astute than traders in most other markets. It's really a technically, currency markets are more technically driven than any other markets, so people will perhaps notice that, but my hunch is it's a shot across the bows rather than anything more significant. But when I last looked, the dollar index was sitting on potentially a very, very small upside key day reversal as well. Now, that had a knock-on effect through other markets that had been doing extremely well during the weak dollar story, including gold, which in after-hours trading is also sitting on a potentially very small little downside to key day reversal. Again, I don't think there's anything too alarming about that. I mean, I don't want to be blasé about any signal, but the key to the key, if you will, is its dramatic shock impact, and there's no dramatic shock impact in these moves, although everybody will sense a little bit of a short-term change in trend, and no doubt some tight stops have been hit in here today. At any rate, gold, as I speak, is at 414, just above 449. And that's against a high that we had this morning up at 456.89. So thus the small key. And all the other metals were down. The biggest hit in the metals sector was in nickel. And that had a definite downward dynamic. The 3-month nickel price falling by £1,145. I've only got one small base metal position at this stage, and that's the tin, which is down $25 at 8775. It's drifting in here, and I'm a little uncomfortable with it because it's lost the backwardation. There's a currently a $10 contango, and the backwardation was one of the comforting factors in terms of my staying in with that market that was just ranging sideways. But a number of the other base metals look a bit overextended and are in a consolidation phase. Copper fell back fairly sharply in here today as well. Now, the best news for me today in these markets, other than the rebound in Japan, and further gains in partial rebound by Japan, and further gains in the Asian markets, other Asian markets where I have positions, was the coffee market charged ahead again today, and I took the profit on that rather than put in a stop, because I thought this is quite likely to be or to remain fairly volatile. And so I'm out of coffee now after 3 successful trades in it so far this year, although the second one was appallingly badly timed. But if that comes back, as it may well do, then I will quite possibly be a buyer once again. So the main story, just to wrap up here, is really this bit of a pullback in the currencies against the dollar, a bit of a technical rally in the dollar, and the knock-on effect that's created in the other markets. That will have, if that has any effect on stock markets whatsoever, it will be a positive one, because it prevents a possible crisis atmosphere from either forming or some would say increasing regarding the dollar's overall decline. But I think this is only a brief respite, so say, in the dollar's downward move. I do not feel that that is over, although it is a wee bit overextended in the short term. Now, the other thing that I said I would mention, well, take energy, and I did pick up a more natural gas. That fell down quite sharply, so I'm certainly running losses on my two opening positions. I've been doing this on a baby steps basis, and truth to tell, I would I was hoping it would ease a little bit, but it's eased more than a little bit, and I might have one more baby steps bite if it eases further in here, but then I'd call a halt to that action and wait for what I hope will be another bounce. We've seen this plenty of volatility in that natural gas market all along, and it's something I've been able to exploit for the most part, as you may recall. The crude oil price fell down to, I think, on the low at one stage. I've lost the day's earlier trades now on this Bloomberg screen that I'm looking at. It's showing the after hours trading only, but it's currently at 43.37. So it took another big hit here today. And I think at one stage it got down to close to 42 and a half. Now, 40 probably represents a bit of psychological support, but it'll take an upward dynamic by this and also natural gas to provide any convincing evidence that we've established a floor. My hunch is, well, you know what I've been saying, that the energy sector was experiencing a medium-term correction, not another short-term correction, because the downward dynamic off the high in crude, if you remember back in October, that downward dynamic was quite large, and it occurred after some acceleration on the upside. So I was looking for a bigger and longer reaction than we had seen in August and in June. Well, we're certainly getting that. But my guess at this stage would be that we have pretty well seen most of the decline that we're likely to get in crude. And I do maintain that this is a secular bull market. So I may well look at some other energy contracts in incoming weeks. Have an excellent evening.